In the name of Jesus, amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we often value the quality of settling down or growing roots. In this way, we establish a home and we become part of a community. It symbolizes building a strong foundation, deeper connections, and stability, often connecting the idea to family, personal growth, or relationships, such as the quote, "Storms make trees take on deeper roots." On the other hand, there are other seeming benefits, especially from a psychological perspective. We get to avoid change. In other words, our stated appreciation for settling down might also be, to some extent, a clinging to a subconscious comfort and maybe even a complacency that comes with avoiding change. So-called stress scales can measure to some extent the unhealthy stress in a person's life. Things like losing a loved one, coping with a change in one's health or employment can do more than cause stress, but can also contribute to distress, the negative version of stress. It's one thing for stress in and of itself to become a driving force for getting things done, but if stress makes us feel overwhelmed, then this distress or overstress can impact our heart, our digestive system, our relationships, and even our hope. Souls can become downcast when change becomes extreme, and this is just one reason we value avoiding change. Having the option not to change is just less stressful. In truth, it is more convenient. But sometimes, as we all know, change is unavoidable. It must happen. And sometimes, change is very good. Sometimes God calls us to change and to make changes. And if we are to meet these times of necessary change while remaining strong in Christ, we need faith. Faith must cling to the promises of God so that change is met, all the while knowing that some things, in fact, the most important things, never change, even during great change in our lives. I'm a thoroughgoing Californian. Our great state is in my blood. But one day, after having had several calls in the ministry, I received a call to Texas in the Houston area. Of course, all calls are different, but this one back in 2002 stood out. The former president of Concordia University, now in glory, Jack Preuss III, encouraged me to accept that call. He said that because it was a larger congregation, providing the experience to be a senior pastor with a large staff would be a good thing for my ongoing formation in holy ministry. Having said all of that, the thought of moving to Texas was hard for me to swallow. When I went to visit the congregation during the deliberation process, one of the leaders there informed me that if I took the call, I would eventually become accustomed to the humidity. When he said it, I instantly thought to myself, I will never adjust to this humidity. And if I were to accept the call, the weather would have nothing to do with it. I accepted the call while being inspired by the Old Testament reading that we have today, Genesis 12, 1 to 9. After accepting the call, the moving crew was loading up my place of residence here in Orange County. Right in the middle of the move, my eldest brother, Larry, phoned me asking if I was really going through with the move. He then asked, "So what's plan B?" I told him there was no plan B. God was directing a major change in my life and in some ways a seismic shift, and all the while, he was in complete control. Not only did everything work out, but the Lord blessed me and my family through this change in moving to Texas for almost 9 years. My experience of change, however, was nothing compared to the change experienced by Abram, who would later be renamed Abraham. You want to talk about a situation rife with distress. God's word paints a vivid picture of Abram. He was a rich man and evidently accepting of the fact that he and his wife Sarai were childless. You might say that he was in a perfect position to live quite a worldly and happy life with the comfort and status of wealth along with less responsibilities under his own roof. But Abram's situation at the time is even clearer than that. Abram's background was that of his father. According to Joshua 24, as Joshua spoke to Israel, this is God's word. Long ago, your fathers lived beyond the Euphrates, Terah, the father of Abraham and of Nahor, and they served other gods. God's word. Abram was an idolater. He worshiped false gods. He was spiritually dead and did not know the Lord. He was a man without faith. Abram was rich in the world and probably quite settled, and he was content to be spiritually blind while not knowing the Lord. And then, talk about change. The kind of change that took place in Abram's life is something that a lot of people would attribute to an exceptional predisposition and openness towards God, perhaps. But this was not the case. Abram was a sinner who would have been comfortable never changing his life. And yet, despite Abram's inability toward change, and as being the most unlikely candidate for following God, God, in his mercy, sought out Abram and sent his word to Abram. And with his word and the power of the Holy Spirit working through it, gave Abram a command for extraordinary change that was embedded in the promises of God. I say embedded in promises because after God calls Abram at Genesis 12:1, go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land I will show you. Notice the indicators of blessing in verses 2 and 3. I'll just read the highlights. God says, I will bless you. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. What was there in the life of this man lacking faith, worshiping false gods, that accounts for God blessing him this way? There was nothing in Abraham, but everything in God, according to pure grace, pure love, pure mercy. Not only would this man experience phenomenal change in respect to the logistics of his life, but Abram was becoming a new person, a changed person, and a person no longer afraid of change. How did this happen? It happened by the power of the promises of God and the efficacy of the call of God to Abram. God works this way, dear Christians. Thus, we confess about the third article of the creed in the Small Catechism. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God has changed you, baptized Christians. And this change is not your enemy. It is not a source of stress, but a source of strength. It is not a source of anxiety. It is a source of peace. It is not your source of distress, but your source of the power of Christ for you and in you. Christians therefore learn not to see change as an enemy, but a reminder that God will not forsake them through change, and that the Lord Jesus Christ will work good through all chances and changes of life. This God promises you. It is not for us, therefore, to fear change. While we know that Abram was in Haran, prior to that, he was in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now keep in mind that Abram, who became Abraham, was alive over 4,000 years ago. And as we all know, no planes, trains, or automobiles. Ur, to the promised land, was about 1,000 miles away. But not just 1,000 miles away, but a new land that Abram knew nothing about. And recall his security when God called him. This kind of change seems crazy to the world. What kind of moron would make this kind of change? Not only did Abram not have a plan B, neither did he have a plan C, D, or E. This reveals the radical power of God's word and the power of the greatest promise that is the gospel. The promise of sins forgiven, the creation of a new life, light shining out of darkness, sight given to the spiritually blind, a vitality never known even in the face of suffering. I was in Sedona, Arizona this past week. It was our first vacation, Tracy and I, since her diagnosis on July 3rd with leukemia, and she's, praise God, doing so incredibly well. But Sedona, Arizona is a place where the Reverend Johnny Lopez, the former soul pastor of Rock of Ages, Sedona, and also Trinity Crystal Ray in Santa Ana, was serving his pastorate. His daughter saw that Tracy and I were in the area, so she reached out to me, inviting me to come to Pastor Lopez's residence, which will soon be sold. Pastor Lopez died of cancer a few years ago. He was an amazing man of God. The family welcomed me to Johnny's library as well, and they offered anything in his library to me, and they handed me as a gift his stoles from South America. This is Pastor Lopez's stole. He was a devout pastor. He was a holy man of God. He was full of energy in the Holy Spirit. I saw him shortly before he died, and we gave each other a long embrace. One of his daughters told me what his cancer had done to his body towards the end of his life, but also that Pastor Johnny not only did not fear death, but he desired to serve the Lord with every breath granted to him every single day he was alive. He became weak, but he was overflowing with the strength of God. To see this man, what he was going through, and the radiance of his smile and his faith in the Lord was amazing. He was not stopped through so much of his life which had changed. And this is why we do not fear change, because God never changes. Thus, his love and his strength for us will never change as we go through change. We should never be surprised. In our epistle for Romans 4, the last verse at verse 17, God describes his grace toward Abram. Here is God's word. I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. God's word. Thanks be to God. Why should we fear change? Why should it cause us distress? We have the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And then we have the gospel from John chapter 3. You want to talk about change. God gives the Holy Spirit through holy baptism, and you and I are born from above. We have been changed. We are new men and new women. We've been transformed. We have been changed. This is the power of God. This is the way of God for his people, so that not only do we see God's blessing through instability seemingly, but God's hand to guide us through all change. I read an article this past week that Navy SEALs trained themselves to never use the word try. Evidently, it reduces testosterone by about 60%. A Navy SEAL does not try. They do. You're probably familiar with that as a Marine. God leads us to do. And we can, because he supplies his word and promises through all of life's changes. So God, at verse 1 of Genesis 12, said, "Go from your country, your kindred, your father's house to the land I will show you." And at verse 4, we have this. So Abram went, as the Lord had told him. God said, go. Abram went. God said, go. Abram did. Abram did not try. He did what God commanded, because God had changed him. Christians, God has changed you. He has called you to leave your land, that is your love for this world. You have a new land because you've changed. Abraham, you changed, was not afraid because he had faith. By faith, this is Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that had foundations, whose designer and builder is God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And you have changed. And the change becomes evident, especially during this season of renewal called Lent. We confess our sins, and those who could never merit forgiveness change. We are forgiven. We confess our darkness, and God gives us light. We confess our blindness, and God gives us sight to see Jesus. We confess our fear and our anxiety towards change, and the Holy Spirit leads us to face change, knowing that God has made promises to never leave us nor forsake us, so that we are changed for good in the face of change, with God leading us through all change. Christians, we look around, especially here in California. There are so many problems. This is self-evident to us. There are so many disturbing trends. It is so expensive. It is so liberal. It is so immoral. It is so this, and it is so that. As a result, we are tempted to be intimidated and afraid of the great change happening all around us. Because instead of seeing God's ability to grow us, to make us stronger, to become brighter, our sinful nature thinks that this change can only be negative. But God says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, in Romans 12. God says, I work through change. So don't be afraid to get out there, Christians, to be his light, to share his love, to point people to the Savior Jesus. We are putting goals and visions for a ministry that poor sinners cannot do, but our Almighty God can do with ease. The question is not whether we have this or that to do X, Y, and Z. The greater question is whether we have faith in the Lord who raises the dead and causes things that do not exist to exist out of nothing. Isaiah 7:9 states, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. The prospect for a school ministry, for example, is not just difficult, nor is it just unlikely. If we are standing alone, let me be clear, it is impossible. State of fact. But wait a minute. God raises the dead. He calls into existence things that do not exist. His providing a school for our outreach and service to our community is far easier than raising the dead. It's also a step down from creating out of nothing, since all the resources required he has already brought into existence. If God wills it, then he will do it. Our call will be simple. Have faith and do our part. Do what he's called us to do. God said, go, and Abram did. When God says, go to us, we can too. God says, go make disciples. And we say, yes, Lord, and then do what he says. How can we do so? Because God has already changed us. We are his new creation, forgiven and washed by the blood of the Lamb. God has changed us, poor sinners, trapped in idolatry in our homeland, so that we can leave the love of the world and love the Lord by his gospel that creates a new faith. Change is not only not feared now, but it is welcomed. This is how God works. He raises the dead. The dead are changed into living. He calls into existence the things that do not exist. Non-existence changes to existence. Unbelief is changed to faith. Broken marriages are given new life. Hatred is changed to love. Old lives are made new. And people who once lived for themselves change into people who live for God and their neighbor. Let us obey because we have been saved. We are new people. Let us do what he's commanded us to do, since Christ has done everything for us. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen.